You've worked across the thematic areas of UN Security Council Resolution 1325 on women, peace, and security, including participation, protection, the prevention of violence against women, and relief and recovery. Given the breadth of your work, I'd like to briefly ask you about each of these areas. To begin on participation, you've worked both on the participation of Thai female peacekeepers in UN missions and on women in negotiations and political decision-making. As we know, this year marks 15 years on from Resolution 1325 and 20 years on from the Beijing Platform for Action. Why does women's participation matter, and what are the remaining obstacles to realizing it in practice?
Well, I think from what the research results have told us, that participation of women is needed at all levels and across all areas of concern. So the benefits of having women participating, particularly in peacekeeping and conflict resolution, is that when the women go into the field, the women in the war zone or in the conflict affected areas probably would like to put more trust on the same-sex persons. They probably don't want to talk of their problems, their situations, with the male persons. And in that sense, the women can serve as a point of trusting. Not only that, but women have certain points of view on the situations like that, which probably are different from men. For example, women seem to have more empathy, more sympathy, and probably can convey feelings on the same wavelength as the women. Not only that, but also she could serve as a role model. Then the women can see what other women can do. And also the women can bring in what her knowledge and skills, not only related to the peace issues, but on other issues in life. Those who participate also will learn something, and that she can come back to the country or to the place of origin to help further the cause of getting the woman participation in all areas.
On protection, as a member of the Committee on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women, you've called for clearer national reporting and monitoring frameworks. Could CEDAW be more effectively linked to efforts to implement 1325? How can these normative frameworks work together to protect women from violence?
I think CEDAW has the responsibility, actually, to put 1325 into the agenda. Although this hasn't recently. While I was with CEDAW, we were talking about the possibility of formulation of the general comments on 1325. General comments serve as a guidelines for all the countries report to CEDAW. And if 1325 was there, then every country will have to look at it. And they have to say something about it in a way not as mandatory, but almost like mandatory for them to report. Now, CEDAW needs to work with UN Women more. CEDAW needs to work more with the DPKO. CEDAW needs to work with the research institutes like yourself, IPI, and so on. There are many, many research institutes around the world that work on women's issues and on 325. And they should have a network with all these people. I think the research results are important in their work, so they know what the evidence base would help them guiding the direction of the report.
Looking at prevention, you serve on the board of the UN Voluntary Trust Fund for Victims of Trafficking in Persons. Does trafficking disproportionately affect women? And what can be done to prevent this illegal practice and the violence and exploitation that it brings?
That's a very comprehensive question to answer in a few minutes. At the beginning, it was trafficking of women more than trafficking of men and boys. In Thailand, for example, we have this law since 1928. The law was written for women and girls. And then we have to change to women and children because we found boys to be involved. Then we have to change to trafficking in persons because adult men now also involved. But women, girls are vulnerable. Prostitution has been with the world since the biblical time, 4,000 years ago. So this still is going on. And to us in Thailand, if the women are over 18, free of exploitation, free of being forced, we think it's okay. We decriminalize that. But girls under 18, whether you have the consent or not, is a no-no. So trafficking at the beginning is pretty much women's issues. So you have to work on policy statement. You have to work on prevention. You have to work on protection and reintegration, recovery. You have to work on legal framework and the law enforcement. You have to work on partnership. You have to work on capacity building, research and data and so on. You have to work integrated all these aspects. Otherwise, you're not going to do away with all these problems.
Turning to relief and recovery, the final pillar of 1325, your region, Southeast Asia, has been affected by natural disasters and climate crises. And in your own country, this includes severe flooding. Have ASEAN countries taken steps to ensure that women participate in and benefit from disaster warning, response, and recovery?
Well, fortunately, ASEAN is interested in these aspects, and they have organized seminars to begin with to discuss about what can we do as ASEAN countries to help with all aspects related to natural disasters, as well as man-made disasters, as well as accidents that are very harmful to the family and women and girls. But they're just beginning to do it. Wait for a few years, and I'm sure that they will come up with some sort of plan of action, including climate change. This has been the subject of intensive discussion at the moment.
And finally, to link its international commitments to its national laws and local practices, your country of Thailand is set to adopt a national action plan this year. In your opinion, what are the most important issues for the national action plan to address?
I would say the most important and most urgent at this point is at least on two counts. One is to create awareness that all the men, particularly in the troops and police force, have gender equality in mind. Their mindset has to be changed. So awareness raising, the change of attitudes and values, this is so important because otherwise I don't think it will work. And the second thing is capacity building. Because I think that you also have come up with all kinds of interesting modules for training and so on. So this needs to be contextualized in some ways to fit in with our situation. But I think capacity building of all personnel related to 1325 really need to be done quickly in order to get the quality of our delivery with the UN, even at the domestic level. Because we would like to extend 1325 into not the UN global level, but the national level, at the local level, conflict-affected zone, and you know, women are suffering quite a lot.
Thank you for joining us and sharing your insights today.
I hope it's useful. Thank you.